gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL, playoff edition, baby. We made it all the way through. COVID-19 did not take out any of This Week in the NFL's weeks. We went 17 for 17. Mr. D'Amato, I believe we're 34 for 34, maybe even beyond that. We haven't missed a week in at least 2 years, so that is a great feat. Congratulations, guys. You could say the same thing for the NFL. If we were to set at the beginning of the year that the last game of the NFL season, regular season, and all the games had been played would have happened on Sunday night in week 17, a lot of people wouldn't have believed you. So props to the NFL for that. Not so much on the game that they decided to put on for that last game at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. But as always, I'm your host, the Cowboy, and this is This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We have our four-man booth in effect, as per usual. First, my one and only, Mr. D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. Pretty good, man. It's a nice finale. Unfortunately, our four-man crew, all our teams won't be represented in the playoffs, but we're still going to chop it up. I'm still looking forward to it. Epic first weekend of playoffs. Three games on Saturday, three games Sunday. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Next up, I give him credit for showing up after a tough performance by his team. My main man, Ryder. Ryder, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. So we're recording at 9:26 p.m. on a school night, on Thursday night. Are you feeling like a little bit of a rebel, Ryder?
No.
No? John's usually in bed a half hour before this. He could be a little loopy. You know how it gets when you get a little loopy.
Come on.
And last but not least, Cowboy Senior. I don't know if that's him making that racket.
I'm having a little technical difficulty.
He sounds like he's in a shower.
No worries. It wouldn't be this week in the NFL without Cowboy Senior having a little technical difficulty.
Is he in a shower? He might be in a
shower.
Sounds
like he's a shower or a potential like rainstorm outside.
Just give me a second, guys. I'll be good.
Okay, no problem. You just let us know when you're ready.
My new high tech setup, you know.
It's tough.
I'm not as comfortable not on Route 1, I guess.
Yeah. It sounded like you were taking your wireless mic and just rubbing it against your jeans or something there. So it's all right. The listeners have become accustomed to it. So I want to get started.
I should be good.
Very good, Senior. Very good. So I want to get started. We have Ryder only on for a limited time frame here due to the bedtime of the 11-year-old. So we talked a lot last week about the Cardinals game, and I think everybody picked the Cardinals. John hedged, picked the Cardinals, but said like four or five bad things about them when he picked them. So I think what none of us predicted was that it would be backup versus backup with Kyler going out early in the game. Uninspired performance by the Cardinals. The backup who me and Ryder were watching the game, we had some high hopes for him. He was absolutely atrocious. He threw a pick six before the half that essentially lost the game. Not Cliff Kingsbury's finest moment. Mr. D'Amato has been calling for his head since about week three, and now the whole nation's behind him. So you're a trendsetter there, John. But Ryder, I want to reflect with you. The Cardinals, at the beginning of the year, if you would have said the Cardinals are going to be 8-8, Kyler they would be playing for a playoff spot on week 17. Kyler would have made some great strides and would have even been a little bit in the MVP talk at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, would you have said, yes, that's a good year for the Cardinals, I'll take it?
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think so, too. So I think it's, I think when you look at the Cardinals, well, they really didn't play well for the last six games of the season or so, right? The only win there, I think, was the Hail Mary, which is a great play, maybe the best play of the season. But they were a young team, growing pains. I think they're on the upswing. They just need, you know, they'll add some more pieces. They have arguably the best quarterback receiver combo in the league, or one of them. I think Josh Allen and Diggs and Mahomes and Hill might have something to say about that, but they're right up there. They're right up there. So Ryder, as a Cardinals fan, are you proud of your guys this season? Were you happy with what happened?
Yes.
Good. Good. You're a good fan. Ryder was very upset when they got knocked out of the playoffs. It's a place that Senior and I used to be in every year, and that John has experienced quite a bit more recently. So, Ryder, playoffs for the Cardinals next year?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I think so too, Ryder. I think so too. And I appreciate you being a good fan. Arizona's lucky to have you. A lot of people would have run and hide after that putrid performance, but you're here with us. Do you want him to get rid of Kingsbury?
I don't know.
Pretty bad. The way he burns the timeouts, like when you're down in the second half. I mean, you can't do that. You just can't do that. I think he should be gone, Ryder. I know he's young. I don't think they'll do it, but I think that was a 10-6 team this year that didn't win two games because of him. What do you think, buddy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Gone? Yes.
Yeah.
And now you got a guy like Adam Gase on the market. You could bring him right in to help out that young quarterback.
Come on.
All right, Ryder. I want you to give me. I know you got to go to bed. So, John Senior and I are going to do all our playoff picks. So I just want to get yours on the record here. So I'm going to read off the games to you. And I just want you to pick, give me the winners, okay, as I read them off. You tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Buffalo, Indianapolis.
Buffalo.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Without the coach. All right. The Rams versus the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Tampa at Washington.
Tampa.
Baltimore at Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Last but certainly not least, the Bears at New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Okay. Very good. Ryder, thank you for a great regular season. You'll be back next week as we go through the playoff games and then the look forward to the conference semifinals. So do you have anything to say to all your fans before you sign off for the night?
I don't know.
Go Bears?
No.
All right.
Cardinals 2021.
Cardinals 2021, baby. Good night, Ryder.
Ryder.
Bye.
Peace. Bye, buddy. All right, guys. So, John, we're 11 minutes in, give or take, and I think that this will be the first episode that you don't use foul language with Ryder on the show. So,
getting better. Nice job.
I know I didn't have you talk at all there, but all right. God. So, Senior, you got your technical difficulties fixed. John, good to have you guys. The next thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the playoff games, which is what I want to spend most of our time talking about, is previewing the playoff games. I wanted to spend a little time, I alluded to it earlier, on the Sunday night disgrace that was Doug Peterson. So for those who live under a rock or weren't watching the game, Washington did not play well. Game was on the table for Philly, on the table for Philly. They're down 17-14. Peterson, 4th and 4 from the Washington 4-yard line. Jalen Hurts in the game has a chance to tie it up and does what he does a lot, the analytic play, as they say, that we're so fond of here. Goes for the touchdown, doesn't get it with Hurts. It was actually a bad throw by Hurts. It should have been a touchdown. And pulls Hurts after that for someone who, Nate Sudfeld, who, you know, all that stuff I had said about Ryan Finley and maybe Ryan Lindley, guys just who really just clearly don't belong on an NFL field. I think we have a new leader in the clubhouse for the worst goddamn quarterback I've ever seen. Because there was something like, oh, Peterson wants to get a look at Sudfeld. And from what we saw, he didn't need that look because I can't imagine he was setting the world on fire in practice or anything, right? Total bum. Washington tried to give the game away 3 or 4 times. Sudfeld just could do nothing. What the defense, the Eagles D gets a turnover. Sudfeld just gives it right back. And the Washington football team, very nice story with Alex Smith and Ron Rivera and all the hurdles that they've had to overcome. But Doug Peterson just handed them the division on a silver platter, said, here you go. I don't know if they tank in the NFL. It's as close as I've seen to tanking in the NFL. Unless you count the Greg Williams blitz, which I don't know. They fired him after that. Peterson still has a job, so who knows? A bunch of the Giants players were on Twitter destroying it. And it was really a national uproar. So I know we were talking a little bit, guys, and surprisingly, I think you guys fall on kind of different sides of this, maybe. So I'm going to go to Senior first. So Senior, just give me your thoughts. Let's just focus strictly on Doug Peterson here. Where do you does this lower your opinion of him in any way?
In a huge way. I mean, that was absolutely disgraceful. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. There's no good explanation for it. Every explanation I've heard is BS. It made no sense. It made absolutely no sense. Okay, you start off with the 10 starters not dressing. And you know that if the game meant something to the Eagles, I'm not saying all 10 would have played, but there were some of those guys that were capable of playing, right? But you say, okay, if a guy's a little dinged up, we're not playing for anything. I can live with that. But then you get into the game, and the guys that you have playing are playing their asses off. And remember, this is the last game of the season. Everything else is done. This is deciding who goes to the playoffs. And these guys are pouring their hearts out there, really playing hard. They're right in the game. And really the biggest reason that their offense is in the game is because of Jalen Hurts against that great defense. He was getting some stuff done. To pull them at 17-14 in the early fourth quarter, there's no explanation. The Philly players that were playing were pissed off. A lot of them took to Twitter in the last few days to express their displeasure. Obviously, the Giants play. It's bad for football. You know, Goodell steps in on certain things, and I don't know if he made a call behind the scenes this week, but that was a real bad look for the NFL. And I know John's going to say, well, you can't complain when you're 6-10. But that, to me, that's irregardless. You know, I think it taints, for one thing, it taints the great story of the Washington football team getting in. I don't care if they were 11-5 and they would have gotten knocked out by losing that game. It would, and it was handed to them like that. I think it would still be absolutely tainted. And now I've heard that the latest thing is, I heard Rivera today say that he was told that Peterson said, you know, the game didn't mean anything to our team, and so I couldn't risk getting Jalen hurt. He's our future. Well, then what the hell did he start the game for? I mean, there's no everything that Peterson said so far. I watched his statement after, and you could see he's stumbling all over his words. And you know, if it was about the number nine pick as been getting the six instead of the nine, well, then you should have made it up and put Hurts on that injury report with a phony injury and not played him, and it wouldn't have been this bad a look. This was a terrible look. This was an absolute disgrace. Bad for football. I felt for the Philly players, the guys that played their asses off on the field. And then they're confused, like, what the hell is our coach doing? I felt for the Giants. I felt for the NFL. I felt for myself as a fan and for all of the fans around the country that were watching that game, the game that meant something. And it turned into a really good football game. I mean, to bring this guy in where you absolutely knew the only chance that once you saw him play just a few plays, the only chance that Philly had to score was if they got a defensive touchdown. I mean, come on. Just awful. I mean, it was terrible. Okay, I guess that's my rant.
John, this knocked your G-man out of the playoffs. I know you hate Philly. I know you don't like the other teams in the division, but I know you got a special hatred in your heart for Philly. So in the public forum, let them have it, John. Let it all out, baby.
Nah, I'm not gonna be able to do it as well as senior because I repeated it a million times. At 6-10, you don't deserve to win a division. So it really can't bother me that much because at 6-10, I would have been hearing it all week how the Giants, you know, what an embarrassing division winner the Giants were. So the Giants had no right to complain at 6-10. But it was a blatant tank job, and also it's bad on the league because they chose to have that game be their finale, and it did, you know, it always draws nice ratings. Sunday night is one of the top rated shows of the week on network television, and to have that showcase and it was a real competitive game with Hurts running around. It was very competitive, and also, you know, Washington poor Alex Smith, they can't get anything done with Alex Smith. That's to say whether he's hurt. Even Alex Smith has 100% is it's a nice story, but the story kind of overshadows the fact that even at this stage of the game,
he's a backup at this stage of his career.
But even in his prime, trust me, I know because when the Giants played the 49ers in the championship game. The 49ers dominated that game on defense, and there was a couple times they gave the ball to Smith, and if he would have just got one first down, the 49ers would have kicked the field goal in overtime. The Giants would have been dead, and that would have helped a certain other team get a seventh ring. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it was obvious because also the reports came out before the game that Peterson is definitely returning for 21. So obviously he had a meeting with his GM, and obviously they had some backdoor saying, hey, you know, it would be nice. We probably got somebody in mind, a defensive player, I think, from Parsons from Philly is projected to from Penn State. So, hey, it would be nice if we could get that six pick instead of nine. I think it was obvious that that's what went down, man.
Man, it would be nice if Goodell just took that pick away. No, you don't get it. No, you don't get either of them.
You can't do that.
I agree with Senior. In that I felt most bad for the Philly players. Yeah. They were showing, it was just a couple of weeks before, right, that Jason Kelce had that big, you know, big talking about you play to win. And I mean, Miles Sanders came out publicly, right, yesterday or the day before and said essentially said that they all thought it was bullshit. And I mean, Peterson, I mean, did not have a good year this year or really last year, I don't think. And that's the kind of move that loses the players. So they're going to be shitty. And I hope he gets canned. He is my new least favorite person in the NFL.
You know what? I don't think so. I think it's going to be, it's already forgotten. There was a big story Monday and Tuesday. You're already not hearing it much. I think by the time next year they get into training camp, It's all gonna be forgotten.
Yep, and, not gonna forget it, John.
All right, we'll see. But judge. As a matter of fact, I think it was Brandon Graham or somebody already came out today. You know, told said it's no big deal. The Giants, you know, stop crying. And so
one player. I saw that.
Yeah.
Not the rest of the team.
If this guy Parsons or whatever plays week one, helps him win a game, or if they draft maybe a wide receiver, maybe they'll get one right this time. You know. And that's another thing. It doesn't really scare me that, you know, Philly did this to move up in the draft, because their drafting is the reason why they were in last place. Because maybe if they took Justin Jefferson and Metcalf instead of Arcega Whiteside and Jalen Reagor, they wouldn't be in that position. So.
Hey, Arcega Whiteside was balling out in that game.
Yeah, he caught his fourth pass. He caught his fourth pass of the year. I think Metcalf had a quarter, had more in a quarter than
Reagor go ahead of Justin Jefferson?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's an ugly one too.
Yeah.
Because you watched Justin Jefferson in college, you knew he was going to be a star. But
I don't think he lost the team. But also Peterson really stretching out that I won a Super Bowl. You know, I got a Super Bowl ring in my pocket, so I could do whatever I want. He's really using that one. He's really playing that card real tight. So we'll see. Next year he might be on the, he might be on watch if Philly misses the playoffs. So we'll
you think
see.
They're going to be able to move Wentz? I mean, they kind of have to, right? Because
he's
leaked that he's not happy.
I think Reich really Peterson. Likes him in Indy. Yeah, I think Indy's going to be trumps and take him off their hands. That's another thing. No, nobody should take them off their hands. They should be stuck with that contract. But it sounds like Reich and Indies, they got the money and they like them. So.
But would it almost be better if he went somewhere else and then was just like really awesome again? That it was kind of Peterson screwed him up.
I don't know, because he's really handling it like a big baby. Look at the MVP of the league. Didn't they draft a quarterback in the first round, right? And Hurts they took in the second round. So Green Bay took and instead of crying about it, he just went out and had his best year. So
that's true.
Look how he ended. Meanwhile,
Wentz can't complain about getting benched. He was.
Yeah.
It was as bad as it got. Yeah.
And what's coming out is his relationship with Peterson is irreparable damage beyond repair. Well his contract might be damaged beyond repair to move. So, but we'll see. Hopefully Andy don't take him off their hands.
It's a new year, but for your Giants, John, we'll talk before we get into the playoff games. Encouraging that they won that game against Dallas.
Yeah,
I know it only is 6-10, but that was a. It's not every day that a 5-10 team gets to play in what is essentially a playoff game.
Yeah, that's good experience. They came out and they didn't show. It was an elimination game, even, you know, despite the shitty record. So that's good experience. Hopefully that carries over to next year.
And the defensive front played really well.
Yeah.
It's really a bright spot.
It's good to see the Cowboys just act like the Cowboys, too. I don't know why. I don't know how we were. I picked the Giants, right? I'm not.
Yeah, you were the only one.
But you were
the Swami last week.
Yeah, you just
the only kinda, one you got wrong was the Eagles, and Peterson took that one away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean that should almost be considered a win.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Really.
And it's just something we should all remember. If it's a big game, throw out the matchups, throw out the rosters, throw out the weather. None of it matters. If it's a big game, the Cowboys aren't going to win it. Period. Right? What was the last big game that they won?
That's true.
All right, guys. So, Senior, do you have any Patriots thoughts before to kind of wrap the season up there? Brief, so that we can move on to the playoffs.
Yeah, what is there to say? You know, let's hope we have a good offseason. Let's hope the Pats have a good offseason. I really hope they draft a quarterback.
As John said, the latest McShay mock has Justin Fields falling to them.
I find it hard to believe. There's where I have my bragging rights. My guy came through. I've been telling you 2 years about that guy, Raj. Since before last season started, I've been telling you how good he is. I watched all of his college games. what a show he put on. They were all doubting him going into that game, right? He wasn't going to have this was he had sunk in the eyes of the draft gurus and everything else, and because he didn't have a good game against Northwestern. Probably the only bad game of his college career. And they, as I said last week, after a while, he just started handing the ball off in that game because Sermon rushed for 331 yards. So he didn't need to have a good game. Last week, he lit up the world, okay? He outplayed the big, surefire, number one, great pick against what was supposed to be a better defense than the Ohio State defense. He lit him up. He did everything. That kid checks every box. Okay, the physical attributes. He's got the mobility. He has the strong arm. He has accuracy. 2 years in a row, he's played on the brightest stage under the brightest lights in the playoff. And they lost last year, but not because of him. He played a great game and would have won if the receiver didn't break outside when he threw it inside at the very end on that last great drive that he put together. And this year, he balled out even better. He's shown the clutch gene. He's got everything, and I don't want to say I told you so, but I do. I told you so.
I'm not. Again, you can tell you really didn't want to say it, Senior. I hear you.
But I was so happy for him. Part of me was hoping he didn't have that great a game, so he would slip a little further, and maybe the Pats would get him. But I was happy for him. That kid's a baller. And another gene that he showed, I said he checked other boxes. Another box he showed is the tough guy box. Because a lot of guys not only wouldn't have been able to perform like he did the rest of that game, would have been out of the game. I mean, he could barely get on that exercise bike after that hit and everything tough else. And grimacing after every throw. And the next thing you know, he's throwing these balls right on the money about 60 yards downfield. That's very, a special very, kid.
Very, very much so. Agreed, CD. It was a great, great call by you. I gave you the chance to pick him to win the game, and you didn't, though. You gotta remember that for next time. You gotta pick him to win the game to take all credit.
Yeah, I guess I listened a little too much to the experts saying how much of a way better team Clemson was. Bullshit.
Your Clemson pick was very similar to John's Cardinals pick. Just talked a lot about why they weren't gonna win, and then said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go with Clemson." So let's move on to the playoffs, guys. So. Really, I mean, this finally hit me that we have three games each day for the first time, which is pretty awesome, right?
That's so awesome.
Let's just go. We'll go in order. The first game could has a chance to be the game of the game of the weekend, in my opinion. Indianapolis at Buffalo. Buffalo. We were saying it on here a couple of weeks ago. And as per usual, the national media must have listened because now everybody's saying it, that they're the team to beat, or the 1B, 1A to the Chiefs, one playing great. And they are. I mean, they came out and just crushed the Dolphins as expected. And we have Indianapolis coming to town who struggled with Jacksonville but got it done. In Buffalo, Indy's on paper, Indy has the kind of team that could give them trouble, right? They have a good defense. They have a really good running game. You know Jonathan Taylor finished third in the NFL in rushing this year? Do you guys know that? Behind Alvin Cook?
A lot of it in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Exactly, yeah. So on paper, if you're going to beat the Bills do have some trouble stopping the run, right? And you need to slow Allen down a bit. So the Colts, in theory, should be a team that should be able to give them a game. With all that said, I have my own thoughts, but I don't want to cloud your judgment, you know, because I'm on such a hot streak that you might change your pick if I go first. So how about you, John? Give us your synopsis.
Nah, I'm going with Buffalo heavy, but I do see a path for Indy. Maybe Buffalo peaked last week because they seem to be rolling on all cylinders. So for Indy to win, they need something like right off the bat, like a crazy, like in these games, sometimes a crazy a block punt or an early turnover or something. And, you know, so they could get out to a nice 7-0 and then hang in there with their running game. That's the only path I see. But I'm rolling with Buffalo, and I don't like what I see out of certain things in the with the even though their defense, they do have a bunch of playmakers, but they have been giving up a lot of points. And Rivers, you know, with the inopportune turnovers. So.
So what if John
got to make a choice? Got to go with Buffalo.
Would it change your pick if I replaced Rivers with Tua?
Come on, you just want to brag about, man. You hit it. How did you do it, man? Right on the head. You said 28 in the first half, man, and you did it.
I didn't think they put up another 28 with Barkley in the second.
And those last two touchdowns were like bang bang in the last 2 minutes. I'm like, unbelievable. That was the Nostradamus of the year.
Senior, you like Buffalo in this one, or you gonna go against?
I kind of like Indy. I picked them to make the playoffs, and I think their record is probably better than what they are. Really, we say they have a good solid defense. Maybe not so good. It's an okay defense. Not good enough to stop this Buffalo team the way they're rolling. Buffalo's defense, a little bit of trouble stopping the run, but the Buffalo D has been playing better in the last few weeks, and you know they're going to stack up against Taylor. They're going to, you know, Rivers is going to have to tear it up for them to win. I don't think they're going to let Taylor run all over them. They're going to commit whatever they have to the box to slow Taylor down, and that's going to spell trouble for Indy. I just think Buffalo's on way too much of a roll, and they're just a much better team. You know, when I look at these six games, I'm saying, usually in that first week of the playoffs, something happens that you know, somebody wins that you say, I would have never saw that coming.
Yeah.
And I've been looking, trying to say, well, who's that going to be? And as I look at it, maybe there's two of the games where you really can't have much of an upset in because they're so close. So it couldn't be one of those. So I look at the other four for an upset, and I say the least likely is this one. I think Buffalo is the surest thing to win this weekend. Indy's that good. I don't think Indy's that good, really. And I think Buffalo is a really, really good team.
Buffalo's flying high. I like them to win as well. I think Indy can give him a game, and I think it might be good for Buffalo if the game's close. They've been kicking the shit out of everybody they could use to be in a close game. And I think Indy is good enough and well coached enough to stay in the game and not just get run off the field. So I like Buffalo maybe 20-24, something in there where I think Indy will take the air out of the ball. Like I said, very well coached. They'll be in the game, but Allen's just too good right now the Allen versus Rivers is just, it's too much of a disparity there for Indy to actually win the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of Allen, and it's the combination of Allen and Diggs too. That's turned into one of the more prolific combinations in the NFL.
Diggs is a little dinged. But I mean, you know, it could be a little posturing, but he is, like, I think, questionable. But I mean, he's going to play. If he didn't play, that would potentially change my pick. But next up, we have Rams at Seahawks for the third time this season. The Rams are mum on their starting quarterback. They're not going to say who's going to play. After throwing a pick on his first pass, I thought Walford looked pretty good. But if you're going by the logic in the last game, if it's Walford or Goff against Russell Wilson, you would think that the team with Russell Wilson wins. But the Rams have an infinitely better defense. This is a really, really interesting matchup. Senior, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, well, when I told you about the four, you know, that there's two of the games that you really can't call an upset no matter who wins, this is one of them. The Rams are the hardest team to figure out how they're going to show up every week. They can be really good, and they can really lay eggs. They're the toughest team to predict. Whenever you think you got them figured out, they do the opposite. You think they're rolling, you pick them to win, they lose. When you say right now, you kind of, the way things are going lately makes me want to lean towards Seattle. Seattle's defense is playing better than it was earlier in the season. They're running the ball some. They're just not counting on everything. Let Russ cook. All that being said, I'm going to pick the Rams because that's the way I'm leaning. Because I'm leaning towards Seattle, it sounds like convoluted logic, but that's just the way the Rams have been all year. So I don't think they look too good coming into this game, so I'm picking them. I'm going with the Rams. They're going to do the opposite of what seems to be trending. That's just the Rams. It could be very good. I think this is one of those weeks. The defense is going to really step up.
You think they're going to play Goff?
Probably. I don't think it matters that much. He's just as capable of laying an egg or playing good himself, you know. Wolford gives him a little added wrinkle where he can run around, which might give the Seattle defense some trouble. And the Seahawks have to prepare for both now. So, and with their not so good defense, that's challenging. But that's my take. This is going to be one of the weeks that the Rams show up.
All right, John.
Well, the Rams defense has shown up every week, and what's questionable is whether the offense shows up. But when they played the last time, I picked the Rams. It didn't work out because Goff was horrendous, and he was the difference. So this time, I think the Wolf is gonna be in there. I don't think Goff's thumb is going to be healthy enough to play, and I don't think McVay's going to be too broken up about it. I think he's going to be glad that the Wolf was in there, because he runs, he makes a safe play. Like you said, Roger, after that first interception, he was very efficient. Right? And Ramsey has he's been doing it all year. He's going to nullify the number one receiver. He's going to take DK Metcalf out of his game. He's going to frustrate him just like he did to your boy Hopkins, who did just about nothing. He did more crying to the refs than catching balls.
Yeah. Ramsey,
right, left the room.
I mean, he's ridiculously good. Remember prime Darrell Revis? Just no matter who it was, he shut him down. Ramsey just does the same thing. I mean, he's just one of those guys.
He's another guy that backed up his nonsense. I didn't like what he did, you know, crying his way out of Jacksonville and all that. But hey, he backs it up, and of course Aaron Donald, just what a beast. So, and on the other side, Seattle, their offense at the second half of the year, very mediocre. Russell hasn't been cooking since the beginning of the year, so that's why I'm going with the Rams.
Going with the Rams, yeah, Ramsey. You know, he's been treating receivers kind of similarly to how he treated Golden Tate's sister.
Oh, God.
But
then again, that's
Giants humor there, John, right? Little.
Yeah.
How's that feud?
You know what? Golden Tate's not a Giant anymore, because as soon as is eligible, he'll be Cutsville. But let's throw a little bit more dirt on the on Arizona, now that Ryder is not here. What was that's another thing on Kingsbury. What was the deal? Wasn't like Hundley the backup quarterback who's had some experience? How come Strugler became the backup all of a sudden? That's another
right.
Poor
Hundley
decision.
Hundley wasn't even
dressed.
Yeah, they could have put him in, right? Yeah, who knows? Did Kingsbury have him playing special teams or something? Or he had a play or two we might use for him?
That's another demerit for Kingsbury, not having a competent backup. Because you know that Murray's going to... bound to get hurt the way he runs around and his lack of size.
He was hurt coming in. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you now on Kingsbury, John. I defended him. And at one point, as we're seeing with a lot of stuff going on right now, you can only defend a guy for so long. And at one point or another, the straw breaks the camel's back. And
that second timeout on 18-7, that's when you exploded.
That's it. I was out at that point. That was the Kingsbury version of the guy with the coonskin cap on sitting at the head of the Senate for me. You know, I'm out. I'm just out.
And then to sink it in, he punting on fourth down, that down by two scores with like 4 minutes left. That was the
In a game that they had to win.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Just what are you doing? Why give up? What's the difference if you lose by 14 or 21? Who cares? But I'm gonna pick the Seahawks. It's a tough game to pick. Like, I think this is one of those games, if you're like, if you bet on this game, it's time to like go to Gamblers Anonymous, because nobody knows what's going to happen to this game. You have no idea. You have no idea what Rams team's going to show up. And you have, I mean, you really have no idea what the Seahawks have not been great, but I know home field doesn't mean a lot, but I think it still means a little bit. And I'm not going to pick against Russell Wilson against either Goff or Wofford in a playoff game. I think that Wilson will get it. We'll figure out a way to get it done. I'm not particularly confident in the pick, but that's my rationale.
That's understandable. Maybe Russell's been playing possum because he hasn't done much the second half. So maybe he's waiting for the playoffs to turn it back on again.
All right. So next up, Tampa Bay at Washington. So it's interesting. Senior said that the Colts that Buffalo was the biggest lock of the weekend, because I think a lot of people would say this game is the biggest lock of the weekend after how horrible Washington looked. So I don't think so. I think that Washington has a real I'm going to go first this time. I think that Washington has a real chance to win this game. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they win this game. Tampa Bay, also capable of laying eggs, also capable of starting games real slow. It's happened a few times this year. And the one thing that has always been a real problem for Brady is teams that can put pressure on him with their front four, right? I'm not saying anything that's earth-shattering here, but that historically over the last 20 years, those are the teams that either beat him or give him the biggest trouble. And Washington probably has the best front four in the whole NFL, right? If not the best, the second best, whatever. So I think the Washington defense can slow down the Tampa Bay offense, which has looked really, really good lately. The problem's on the other side of the ball, where can Washington score enough to win the game with Alex Smith playing quarterback? So the way you can beat Tampa, everybody knows it, is through the air. That doesn't really play into the whole Alex Smith thing. But I think that they can dink and dunk their way with those two running backs, maybe 7 or 8 receptions each. The McKissick-Gibson show with a little Terry McLaurin sprinkled in, and maybe a Tom turnover or two to win the game. So I'm going to pick Washington 20-17. John, we do this on video. John just threw up into a bag right next to him. So I don't think he agrees with me.
Yeah, I don't think Washington can score enough. Tampa's defense has really improved over the second half. I agree. You make some good points. I agree that Washington could get enough pressure to get with Brady. Tampa's offensive line struggled some at certain points of the season. But I don't see Washington being able to score nearly enough. There's talk that maybe Heineke is going to play some. Rivera said they may alternate a series because, man, it's obvious that Smith is really hurting bad with that calf. He can't move. Heineke, from what little we saw, he can move around a little, maybe make some plays running. But I don't think they could score enough. Tampa really turned it on in the second half. It may be a game for the first half. Maybe it'll get everybody excited. Chase Young may get a strip sack or something, and it'll be close in the first half. But I think Tampa pulls away. Washington's not going to be able to put enough points. Something like 24-10 or something.
24-10. All right. The other thing I'll say real quick before I go to senior is, yes, Tampa Bay has turned it on. Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta. Okay. So
good
defenses they played gave them trouble. They only scored 19 against the Bears. They scored, obviously got destroyed in that game against the Saints, 24 against the Rams, 24 against the Chiefs. Brady's cape. I love the guy, right? He's my favorite football player of all time. I love him. But he's capable of a Goff, right? Where if you're putting pressure on him, he's just not the same guy, and he can have really, really, really bad games. And I just I think a lot of people are thinking that this game's a blowout, and I just don't see it that way. Senior.
I'm gonna kind of go ditto. I do really do respect that Washington front, obviously, and I know teams with a pass rush really get given them trouble. But the numbers you were just saying, the totals against the teams with good defenses, the 19, 24, 24, that'll be enough to win this game. if they score 20, I don't think Washington can match it. I'm picking Tampa, and the one thing that could get in the way is the stubbornness of Arians. But I think I can't believe that he's that stubborn where they're not going to have some plays where Tom's going to be getting the ball out quick. I mean, I know Evans is dinged up, but the last couple of games we've seen, all of a sudden we're seeing the real Antonio Brown, who's if that's what we saw last week, as good as all their weapons are, he's their best weapon. He's really special when he's got it together, and he hadn't been himself, but the last couple of weeks he's rounded into form, and he's the kind of guy you could throw the little bubble screens to and the little slants and outs, the little three step drop stuff, and he could use Gronk that way. I hope Arians is smart enough to put some of that stuff in the playbook to offset this pass rush. If not, he's really a total fool. If it's going to be all 5, 6, 7 step drops throwing the ball downfield, I don't see it. I think he's going to adjust a little, and they're going to be able to, even if I'm not saying they're going to destroy this defense, but they'll be able to score enough points to win this game because, as you guys said, the Washington offense is pretty pathetic. So I don't think this is a sure favorite as Buffalo is because of the Washington defense and because of Arians, but I still see Tampa winning this game.
All right, so I'm on the island. Ryder picked Tampa as well. It's an island I don't mind being on. Me and Chase Young.
I'm coming for you.
So I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. I like that Chase Young talked a little shit already, too, during the week. I like that kid.
I'm coming for you.
I'm coming for you. That kid's good. Good. And man, it would be, I mean, if their offense was just a little better, I'd feel really confident in the pick, but they're just all right, now moving to the Sunday games, the game I'm looking forward to most this weekend is the 1 o'clock game on Sunday, Baltimore at Tennessee. I just think it'll be the most fun game to watch. So as we do the rotation here, I think the bottle that we just spun lands on Mr. D'Amato to go first.
Right. Everybody's predicting a shootout, man. It's just the Titans seem to have had their number. They beat them last year in the playoffs, and they also whipped them pretty good this year too, in Baltimore. But man, Tennessee's defense this year is so disappointing. 30th in the league in sacks. Only ahead of the measly Jaguars and the Bengals. Just no playmakers on defense, no pressure on the quarterback. So it's going to be tough to win. They're gonna have to outscore them. But I like the way Tennessee stepped up last year in the playoffs. Everybody their units improved. So I look for even the defense to improve a little and not be as bad as they have been over the second half of this year. And they'll put a couple stops on Lamar, and it's just going to continue until Lamar does it. He's going to have to convince me. So I'm gonna keep rolling with the Titans, that they have kind of a hex over the Ravens, and also it's going to get in Lamar's head a little bit that he's had struggles in the playoffs, and once he starts struggling early, it's kind of going to snowball on him a little. So I'm going with the Titans, man. Maybe not as high scoring as everybody thinks. 27-24.
Thanks, John. Senior, what's your take?
Yeah, this really is going to be a fun game. It's a hard game to pick. Because the Titans with, obviously, you got Henry and you got the triplets, as John calls them, Tannehill playing so well. to complement what Henry does. And A.J. Brown, just a beast at receiver. That being said, obviously, if you look at the two defenses, there's no doubt the Ravens' defense is better. The Ravens seem to be peaking at the right time. Both teams do their best work, though, on the ground, right? You got Henry, who rushes for 200 yards, 180, like the last four or five games down the stretch. He's priming for the playoffs. But the Ravens, their team rushing stats, I think they rushed for over 300 yards last week, some ridiculous number. I mean, I know part of it is that Lamar runs, and there's no big outstanding back like that. But, you know, they get it done as a committee with Dobbins and Gus and Lamar. All that being said, the bad things we're all saying about the Tennessee defense, and I agree, they've been pitiful and they haven't gotten any better as the season's gone on. John said no pass rush. That is their biggest weakness on defense, is that lack of a pass rush. But in this game, is that big a weakness? You know, is Lamar, do you have to really worry about Lamar standing in the pocket and beating you? I don't think so. I think, you know, that's where you want to keep him, in the pocket. And they don't have a pass rush, so they'll have no problem. Probably have no problem doing that. They just contain them. Well, that being said, I think that's why I like Tennessee in the game. I think the style part of the matchup, Tennessee's great weakness isn't as big a weakness because of the matchup. If they were playing a Josh Allen or a Pat Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers or, you know, a quarterback that can stand back there and pick you apart there, that defense is in huge trouble. But playing an offense like the Ravens have, not as much of a problem. And also, as John said, Lamar hasn't proven anything in the postseason yet, and Tannehill and the Titans have. So I'm going with the Tennessee, the home underdog Tennessee Titans.
And also another a point I want to make about the Ravens. Yeah, they've been hot the last five games, but who was it against? Dallas, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Giants. Okay, Cleveland and the Giants were, I guess, a decent wins. But look at the competition over the last five. Not exactly the stunning defenses of the league, those last five games.
You know what I called those last five defenses, John?
Oh, come on. The Giants.
They're all wonderful. Come on. All better than Tennessee's defense. All five. Okay. Bengals, wow. Jack, definitely.
Hey.
So I am shocked that I'm going to be on the island in this one. But I think a lot of people are picking. Like, you look, Tennessee beat them last year. Tennessee's coming in. I don't think they're coming in really hot. I mean, that was not a great performance against Houston. I mean, their defense is so bad. It's so, so bad. And I mean, you could say it's a lack of a pass rush. It's not just the lack of a pass rush. I mean, they can't cover anybody either. And I mean, do you think they're really equipped like that? This is a team that's going to stop the Ravens from doing what they want to do on offense just because it's not Lamar standing in the pocket and passing.
Well, they have some talent on the defense. They have Malcolm Butler. You know, hopefully he doesn't have any disciplinary actions, and he'll be able to play and make the game. You know,
how about this?
I mean,
if
the best thing you can say about the defense is they have Malcolm Butler, average at best at this point. I mean, so Baltimore's defense is at least a good defense, not great, but they're a good defense, to where I think they'll be able to get some stops. Tennessee's defense, I don't know if they'll be able to get any stops. Like, I mean, if you told me that Baltimore didn't punt in this game, that wouldn't be a surprise to me. That's how bad Tennessee's defense is. With the division on the line, I mean, Watson went through them like a hot knife through butter, where the only positive was that they left 30 seconds on the clock so the Texans could blow it. I mean, that was the big positive for the defense of the whole game. So I don't think they're going to completely destroy them, because Henry Henry's too good, but they're going to load up to stop him. They have the corners, right, who can play a little man-to-man and not just get beat every play. And I think Lamar is going to get the playoff monkey off his back in this game. He's a great player. He's been playing great. This is a beautiful matchup for him to look good and to get this can't win the big one thing off his back. It might be the worst defense in football. I mean, they are atrocious. And I mean, I think so. Tennessee scored 40, right? Green Bay Houston scored 38. The week before, Green Bay scored, 40, 41, whatever it was. I think you could chalk up Baltimore for at least 35 in this game, and maybe more if Tennessee can keep up with them. Baltimore will be able to score whatever they have to score to win. So I'm going to go with the Ravens. I'm going to say 38-28 Baltimore in a game that maybe they're ahead by more than that, and Tennessee comes back a little at the end. No disrespect to Derrick Henry or that offense. It's a great offense, but the defense absolutely sucks. And they would be better off against a team like the Colts or someone. I mean, say what you want about the Ravens. Their offense is pretty high-powered when they're playing a shit defense like that. Some good defenses they've had trouble with. But against shit defenses, they score points. I feel strongly about that one, guys.
An observation. I mean, I'm picking Tennessee, but without picking a team to win, whichever one of us is right, the team that wins this game is going to be the team that rushes for the most yards. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, unless Baltimore decides they want to throw because it's so easy.
That's just the way I see it. Whoever rushes... We'll look at it next week. Whoever rushes for the most yards.
Generally, that's a good bet, you know. So
not always in this day and age in the NFL.
I like it. I like it, senior.
Teams win games and rush for 50 yards. You know, yeah. There's a lot of passing. It's a passing league, but in this game, it's going to be the team that rushes for the most yards.
I agree with you, Roger. The defense is horrible, but I'm just banking on what they did last year. They really upped their game in the playoffs last year, Tennessee. So I'm banking that they're. Maybe their defense turns it around a little and plays at least a mediocre game. Makes like one or two stops to get in the W.
Their defense was
just a hunch.
Me and Ryder went to their first playoff game last year, Tom Brady's last game in a Patriots uniform, and the Pats couldn't do anything against that defense.
Hey,
that was anything special.
That was because they had Logan Ryan, but he's not there. He's not there anymore.
That's true. It's across town. All right. Next up, guys, Tim, I hope you hung in for the first hour of the show here because we're finally at the playoff Bears. Senior, what did you said you'd do something if the Bears made the playoffs. Was it eat your shoe or get a Trubisky tattoo or something? I think we talked about this at one point. I think I asked, what are the chances the Bears turn it around and make the playoffs? And I think you said zero, none. Well, here we are. The Bears backed into the playoffs based on the Cardinals' loss. They lost by 21 or whatever in their must-win game against the Packers. Their reward is to go to New Orleans and face the Saints, maybe without Alvin Kamara, but probably with Alvin Kamara. Senior, why don't you go first? You've been our head Bears analyst all season, kind of the guy we have embedded in Chicago. So what are you hearing?
Well, you know, I'm not going to eat my shoe. I'm not going to kiss Mike Ditka. I'll do something even more extreme. I told you at the beginning of the show that every year there's one game that you say, I couldn't have seen that coming. This is the game. I'm picking the Bears to win.
Come on.
It sounds insane. No. But I'm not doing it just as a prank. Or to jinx them or anything. I really think they're going to win the game. The Bears have a decent defense. Mitch has been playing well. Their offensive line's been playing great. Montgomery's been running wild. There's two big reasons why I'm picking them that goes outside of the Bears. that relate more to the Saints. Number one, we don't even know if Kamara's playing. He's the heart and soul of that offense. Thomas is dinged up. Number two, and the other thing is, Breeze is Breeze, but he's not the Breeze he used to be. I'm not saying he's a stiff, but that Drew Breeze isn't a great quarterback anymore. And just the recent, you know, as Johnny went back in history to Tennessee, the recent history in the playoffs in New Orleans, I just expect them to lose. So, I don't know. Shock the world. And the Bears fans that listen to this, they're probably saying, no, senior, don't do it. Don't do it. But that's my upset special. The Bears move on.
Yeah, I don't know if they want you, senior. I think they might take that pick and throw it right back at you. But
they probably don't want it.
I do appreciate. I mean, I've known Senior a long time, and he would not make the pick if he didn't think that was going to happen. So the Bears, I don't agree with it. The Saints are, they do suck in the playoffs, and I don't think they make it past this round. But God, I feel like Senior here. It's a real cake match. matchup for him. I think the Cardinals, right, would have at least brought a little something to the table. The Bears, I mean, that was for them, it was a must-win game, right? It seemed like they didn't know that the Cardinals were going to lose, and they really didn't look good against the Packers. I mean, once the Packers got going, I mean, they really beat the hell out of them. It wasn't even close. New Orleans without Kamara just destroyed Carolina. New Orleans, I think that the main reason I'll pick New Orleans, which is different than most years with New Orleans, is that they have a real defense. And I think that real defense is going to be enough to hold the Bears and Mitch down. Maybe might even be kind of a similar game with a similar score to the Packers game last week. I love you, senior. I just don't see it. I think it's a really bad matchup for the Bears, and I just think kind of talent is going to win out in this one. John, you going to break the tie?
Well, I am. I'm going to. Senior went with a Bears upset, and you went with a Saints blowout. So I'm gonna split the difference and go with a Saints, but a close one. Saints and a close one. The Bears, even though they got smoked, there was about three. They had about three interceptions right in their hands that the defenders dropped, which could have at least made that a game that wasn't over in the second quarter versus the Packers. But it's just a hunch that the Bears are going to turn it on a little. You haven't seen Khalil Mack much this year. He hasn't been that terror like he has in the past couple of years. So maybe he gets a couple of hits on Breeze. And as Senior said, the Saints' history the last few years in the playoffs, when things go wrong, they kind of tighten up. And the Bears got some playmakers. You saw a couple weeks ago, like in Philly, with Hurts was running around. Like Trubisky could run around and make some plays. They got Montgomery and Robinson, a lot of speed. When the Saints play that one-on-one, sometimes their cornerbacks get burnt. So I could see early on where the Saints fans at home get a little nervous, where the Bears take a little lead. But I think the Saints will pull it out at the end. Even though they've had their troubles where things get tight in the playoffs, I don't think this probably be Breeze's last year. I don't think he's going out in the first round.
Agreed, John.
I'm on Bears Island. The Bears.
Yeah, I'm really shocked by the pick. I'm really, really shocked by the pick. Because I mean, it doesn't take much to have more respect for the Bears than you've had for the whole season, Senior. But I feel like I think of them more than you do, and I don't see much of a path to victory in this game. But you know, that's why they play the games, and I hope you're right. Would be a great story. I mean, I'm all for the Saints choking in the playoffs and Breeze not being a big game quarterback. I mean, these are things I believe in. Last and probably least, no idea why this is the Sunday night game, but we have the coachless Cleveland Browns going to the punchless Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is a rematch of the Week 17 barn burner that saw Mason Rudolph almost get it done. Almost get it done. I thought he was going to get it done there, but the two-point conversion was a bridge too far to ask of old Mason. The Browns won the game 24-22 in a game that the Pittsburgh wasn't really trying to win. Stands to reason that Pittsburgh at full strength will probably be able to take care of business. But, I mean, can we just talk about, like, what are they thinking with these primetime games? This is, like, I feel like this is almost as indefensible a decision as Washington-Philadelphia in primetime. I mean, this is the worst game of the weekend, right, Senior John? I mean, is... Like, how wouldn't you put 10 Indy Buffalo, like, get Buffalo into prime time instead of the everybody's still hung over from Friday night, Saturday game?
I don't know. Steelers fans are like roaches. They're everywhere. The Steelers got a lot of fans. Yeah, also people complain about, you know, the Tampa, Washington, too. But I say Brady was going to go no matter who they play. You know, even though they played, you know, the worst division win of Washington, but they were going to put
like a story there, you know.
Yeah, they were going to put Brady versus Chase Young, yeah. But I would have went with Tennessee Ravens definitely for the prime.
Yeah.
But Tennessee doesn't really
anything but this game. Like even
Tennessee's a small market though doesn't really have that. Even though they're a great team, they don't really have that you know that cachet, that big market cachet. For prime time, they like those Steelers, Dallas, you know, those same four teams they like in the prime time.
And for Ryder, so you know he definitely marches to the beat of his own drum. Doesn't go with our picks, but I think the one thing we've indoctrinated him with over the last 7-8 weeks that he's been on the show with us is his negative thoughts on the Steelers because he picked the Browns. I mean, he's a chalk guy. Like he always picks the favorites and he picked the Browns in this game without even thinking twice. So we're proud of him there. So John, how do you think this, what do you see here?
If it wasn't for the coaching situation, I figured I'd be on the island with this one. I would go Pittsburgh even without the drama, you know, without their coaching. And all that because I just think they own him and looking at that last week when the game with Mason Rudolph the Browns barely pulled it out, so I think that hex would have continued even if Stefanski was there, but especially now, I think that the Steelers they got that much needed week off for most of their regulars, like Big Ben and Pouncey didn't play, you know, a lot of the veterans they really needed that week off, so. They'll at least have enough to get through this week, and then they'll get smoked by Buffalo next week. But I'm going with Steelers.
Senior.
You know, my heart, I so want to pick the Steelers to lose this game. And I definitely wouldn't be shocked if it happens. If, you know, what we saw from the Steelers just a few weeks ago in that 3 week stretch where the offense probably looked worse than the Washington football team offense. If that Steeler team shows up, Cleveland can do it, and I really hope that happens. All that being said, it's hard to pick the Browns, and then getting the COVID thing on top of it makes it really hard.
They lost their left guard.
My brain won't let me. Yeah, the Steelers defense should have a ball. My brain won't let me pick the Browns.
I'll be
rooting like hell for him, though, and I'll be real happy to get this pick wrong, but I got to pick the effing Steelers.
And also Olivier Vernon, that's a big loss. He would have been good. He gets a lot of pressure on Ben, but he's out. And their left guard, Batonio, that's a big loss when you lose your left guard. You just can't. It's tough.
Their best chance on offense is obviously to get their running game really cranking And that's hard to do against the Steelers defense. So, I mean, if you look at the matchup logically, you got to pick Pittsburgh. And so I'm going to be logical and pick Pittsburgh, but I'll be rooting like hell against this pick.
Yeah. I mean, I got to leave Ryder on the island on this one. I like Pittsburgh too. And John, I think, and Senior too, I don't know if you guys watched the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game. I watched a lot of it, particularly when they didn't get the two-point conversion. I mean, the Browns acted like they won the Super Bowl, right? Like, I mean, I think, no, really. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs in so long that it had a real feeling of, all right, mission accomplished, right? And that's
funny. They had shirts. They had shirts made up.
But you know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, I think they almost feel like, hey, and they did. They had a great season. John, I think both of us picked them to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. So kudos to us. We were right. but I don't think there's this fire in their belly to make the Super Bowl or anything. I feel like it's no, really. Like it's okay. But like I said, mission accomplished. If we get any farther, great. But this season was a success. And it was for them. But Pittsburgh has higher aspirations than that.
And if they had their leader, that starting wide receiver who's got a lot of playoff experience, Super Bowl experience, maybe he would have led them. I can't do it with a straight face.
But it's tough to get past that Pittsburgh came within one play of beating them with Mason Rudolph and a whole bunch of other guys sitting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and there were some takeaways in that game. That if you just throw the Browns are going to play Chase Claypool one-on-one, and all Ben has to do is just throw it up, and that can be play 1, 2, and 3, and it's there the whole game long. Like, I just think I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I would be very surprised if Cleveland wins this game. Like, this would be my second lock to the Saints, unfortunately.
One little observation, as much as we've trashed all over the guy. I mean, if you watch that game, Mason made some pretty good throws.
Yeah.
He didn't play bad. And, the things that give you a little bit of hope, I want to find a way for the Steelers to lose this, is it's possible that Ben plays worse than Mason did. Ben has looked, he's had some games that are not in the too far away past, just a few weeks ago, where he looked a lot worse than Mason Rudolph did.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he's had one half since the beginning of December where he played.
But it looked like he got his mojo back. That second half of the Colts.
But it really looked like he kind of figured it out, and then whatever, he had the yips, he had the cold streak, he figured it out, and now, like, I mean, I hope I'm no Steelers guy, as we all know. So I'd love for you to be right. I'd love for terrible Ben to come out. If that happens, they'll lose. I mean, they can't beat anybody with him playing like that. But I think he'll.
Nothing could be sweeter. So I don't see it either. But I'm saying it's in the realm of possibility because we've seen that Ben. Not like I said, quite recently we've seen that Ben. So I hope he shows up.
And also with all the stuff going on in Cleveland, they're gonna be playing. They got nothing. They have absolutely nothing to lose because everybody's gonna expect them to lose. There's zero pressure. Yeah, there's zero pressure on them. So there is that factor.
True.
All right, guys. So we got all the picks in, and then there's this one other. We have this one other story that's kind of hot off the presses today. Just wanted to get everybody's thoughts on this Deshaun Watson thing. Like, are the Texans the most dysfunctional franchise, like, in the whole NFL? Are they, I mean, I know O'Brien made all those ridiculous trades, and now, what's their heads, have the freaking third pick, the Dolphins, right, have the third pick in the draft because of the awful trades of O'Brien. But word is that Watson was told that he'd be involved in, like, this search for the GM. And then they just kind of hired the guy without talking to him. And now it seems like he wants out. Do you think there's any way in hell that they're going to trade him? It seems unthinkable to trade 25-year-old Deshaun Watson, even if he refuses to play. Like, I don't even know if he could force his way out if he wanted to. But they're a terrible organization, so maybe they'll do it. What do you think, Senior?
I know. I heard all the stuff today, and They were actually showing stuff on TV of him in a Patriots uniform, in a Miami uniform. I don't see it. I know they traded D-Hop. That was stupid O'Brien. That was the most ridiculous thing. But this would be worse. No, it's such an important position. You die to get a franchise quarterback, and he's like a top five quarterback in the league. I can't believe that they could possibly be that stupid. I mean, I would love it if they want to move him to New England. Bring him up. I'd give our next five first round picks to get him. But I mean, he's special. Let's face it. You know, that's a great, great quarterback that doesn't come down the pike too often, who's in his prime. So I don't see it.
You think that Miami, Tua, and then the Texans number three overall pick back and maybe one other first?
That's not enough. I mean, it would be stupid because, you know, then you, who knows when you get another. You know what it's like when you don't have a quarterback, and he's one of the best. I mean, teams with guys that are way lesser than him say, you know, well, we can't, you know, we got to pay our guy, you know, guys like Kirk Cousins and stuff, you know, because if you don't have one, you're screwed. And they've got one of the very, very best. It's about the only good thing you can say about the organization right now. So I don't think they can possibly be that stupid.
I agree. John, any way he gets traded?
Nah, I say there's no way. But I do understand why he's upset, because they hired Caserio, who was the Pats assistant GM, and he's seen all the shitty wide receivers that the Patriots have drafted over the years. So he sees that. He's like, I don't want to be around with these kind of wide receivers that this guy's going to bring in. Nah, that's just a little shot. But
better to never have him than to draft the best wide receiver in football and then give him away for nothing, though. Right?
The best wide receiver in football. But I blame the lack of...
What is he, a three or something? I mean, come on.
I blame a lack of communication, because there really shouldn't be they should have told him in a nice way, listen, you know, you're a great player and all that, but we do the hiring. Because that sets a bad precedent when... You know, you let one player have input on, right, on hiring of a GM, of course, because, you know, especially with the teammates, that sets a bad, that's what happened in Washington when, like, you know, Snyder was, you know, best friends hanging around with RG3, and that led to a lot of disaster. So,
but the
so they should have cut that off right.
What you shouldn't do is say that you're going to include him and then just not do it.
True. Yeah, it's bad communication.
That's worse.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, 20, 25 teams in the league would love to have Deshaun Watson. I think it's absolutely crazy that they would trade him. But
football's the hardest sport because, you know, the salaries are so humongous. It's hard to match up salaries. You don't get the blockbuster trades you do in other sports. You know, very rare, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think the only way it would be possible is if he refuses to play for him. And even then, they might just let him. And say, go ahead, go sit, you know, just because of the optics of trading somebody like that. So, all right, just wanted to get you guys' take on that. Fans, enjoy the playoff games this weekend. It's going to be a nice full weekend of football. I can't wait. Senior, John, got anything on our way out the door here?
Nope. Mitch Trubisky.
It's just the greatest weekend. These two weekends are the greatest weekends of the year for me. So I cleared a slate, even though nowadays there's nothing to potentially block that, obviously. But even in busy times, I cleared a slate for these two weekends, and nothing but couch and food and football.
And John, if you were a listener of the North South Connection Podcast Network, and you could pick one show to listen to this week, what would that one show be?
It would probably be Aaron George. He did the year that was in wrestling. Although 2020, we've heard all about it. It was a horrific year. And it wasn't too good a year for wrestling either. But Aaron George talked about the misery and makes it entertaining as usual. So check it out. The year that was 2020 on the North-South Connection.
Beautiful. Thank you, John. And thanks to all our listeners. As always, please reach out to us with any questions. If any Bears fans would like Senior's cell phone number, just reach out to me. Get that to you so you can harass him during the game when the Bears crush. And Yeah, great regular season, guys. I think the show, as we do a little reflection, I think the show really came into its own this year as we grew to a four-man booth. I think it's a four-man booth where we all complement each other real well, and we even have a young mind to shape, which is always a lot of fun. So for Mr. D'Amato and for Cowboy Senior, I'm the Cowboy. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we are out of here.